Most people scroll through Instagram dreaming about Dubai. Our guest today actually lives it and she sells it.
What does Wealth Creators do to start with, just to set the scene?
We help people create wealth through...
Natalie helps investors worldwide build wealth through high ROI opportunities and empowers people to live life on their own terms.
Palm Jumeirah, 14 years ago, has made 2,600% capital growth appreciation. That's 185% year on year. Tell me anywhere else in the world that can provide that.
What are the other numbers that made you think that, you know, Dubai was the most attractive real estate?
One that we're selling right now, we did the numbers on, with a nearby hotel, 70% occupancy, and it came up 18% rental yield.
What are the other things about Dubai other than tax-free that are attracting people to this area?
So the economic factors that I really look for, especially when creating, you know, wealth out of real estate, is also...
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Unemployable Podcast. Most people scroll through Instagram dreaming about Dubai. Our guest today actually lives it and she sells it. From the rolling hills of New Zealand to the skyscrapers of Dubai, today's guest has built a career selling Dubai real estate to investors from all over the world, and in my opinion, is the fastest growing real estate industry on earth. She's the founder of Wealth Creators. She's a straight talking real estate agent based in Dubai, and she's a go-to person if you actually want to own a slice of Dubai. I'd like to welcome Natalie Williams.
Hi, team. I'm so excited to be here.
You know what? We've been talking a fair bit through Instagram. We met through Adam. How did you actually meet Adam?
Oh, great story. So I actually have been following Adam's journey, because amazing entrepreneur. But we did the Reliable Education course for an Amazon business and just loved it. Felt like it actually applied to my marketing PR agency at the time. And then he actually came to Auckland and did a live event, and he came up to me and said hello, and we had a really good chat. So I was trying to get him on my pod, and he's actually agreed to do it. So we're going to do it on Palm Jumeirah when he comes to Dubai. So it's full circle. It was a very cool moment to reconnect.
Yeah, so good. We're actually going to be planning a trip very shortly to Dubai, where I think there's a fair few of us that are pretty keen to go there and check things out. I haven't been there in about 12 years, so lots has changed since then, which we'll get into on the pod. James, how are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. I'm back from the dead. There's a thing out there that I don't think the female audience would understand. It's called man flu. If you haven't had it, you wouldn't know, but I just scraped through, so I'm back like a basketball full of air. So
you know James is ready to rock when he wears the baby blue linen shirt, for those of you guys that aren't watching, so it's going to be a good one today, I think.
You got the button up as well, so be careful.
Carson, how are you?
Good, mate. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be good. So I think we'll start with a bit of a backstory. How does a lovely lady like you go from the rolling hills of New Zealand to Dubai?
Great question. Great question. And it's such an honor to be here with you guys today, because I love the freedom movement that you're pioneering. It totally aligns with Wealth Creators. So I always had big dreams and love coming from New Zealand, love being a Kiwi. I think those roots have been very grounding. I always wanted to, you know, do something on a global scale. I actually was a pastor for 10 years and was just serving people in a church, dealing with every type of issue you can imagine, and then building my career. Did a degree in communications, was really lucky to get a scholarship after being a head girl, went into that, majored in PR, and then went and worked for like the top, you know, businesses, and did everything I wanted to do in New Zealand, and very quickly just, you know, built a great marketing PR agency that I just adored. And then COVID hit. And of course, in 24 hours, all of my, you know, the biggest events and kind of the biggest brands in New Zealand, the first thing to cut, you know, to go is the marketing and the PR budget. And so that was kind of devastating. But the silver lining in that was it made me pivot. So I became a trained Tony Robbins coach, which I love. And then that was a great transition, because I was no longer just trying to get people to believe in a certain type of faith. It was actually about just genuinely helping people. And so I was really hungry for more and loved, you know, business as well. And then I had family kind of come to me. I've got some amazing property investors in my family. My brother's a successful developer. And so they kind of came to me and said, Nat, have you thought about real estate? And so it was really interesting. And then I started to start my real estate career, went and joined the best team that were doing, you know, $70 million a month on the North Shore, which is the Golden Mile. And then I went and pitched the first developer ever. But because I had the pitching skills, I had the PR and the marketing background, and also I was doing all that inner work, I saw opportunities that other people didn't see. So I went and pitched a developer and landed the biggest listing in New Zealand. Point, which was a $350 million development, teamed up with an ex All Black, and we started to do the sell down. And that's when the lights came on to me. I fell in love with Off the Plan, and it was the Chinese investors that were coming in, and that's when the lights came on. Foreign investment, great idea, but I need to go bigger. I need to go global.
And what attracted you, I guess, to Dubai out of anywhere else in the world?
So initially, New York was my thing, and I was spending a lot of time in the US. So what started happening is I kind of started locking myself away in New Zealand and just really starting to level up. So listening to a lot of Hormozy, a lot of Tony Robbins, because I, you know, proximity is power. I didn't have people in my world that were building $100 million, you know, businesses or unicorns. I didn't have anybody in my network. Like, I don't come from money, but the gift of that is hunger, right? So I just started to really level up and learn a lot. And then I started really looking at the US market, and I just had these incredible experiences when I went to the US. I started interacting and getting myself into rooms with some of the top 1% in the world at what they do and making some celebrity connections. And then I started looking at the return on investment and becoming an investment specialist. Big difference between a real estate agent and an investment specialist. We understand the mechanics of a deal, but I wanted the greatest returns in the world. I wanted the most unique inventory, and I wanted the economic factors that help you create wealth through property. So I started looking for the best in the world, and Dubai blew everything out so far out of the water. It became an economic no-brainer.
What year did you, so you went through COVID, did a lot of personal development, obviously, and your journey, as you've just explained. When was the actual landing in Dubai? When did it all kick off over there?
Yeah, so that was last year. So before that, I was actually, selling for 14 of the top developers across New Zealand for an Australian education company, helping people create financial freedom. And that's when I realized, you know, I love this education piece. You know, and you really do have to educate people. Most people don't understand how you create wealth, and most real estate agents don't either. So there was a real market there. But when I went to Dubai, there's so much compliance, so much legality, and so many pieces of the puzzle, because this is my own brokerage. So I'm actually, you know, working direct with the developer, which I love. So, you know, you go from selling for these big developers in New Zealand, but then the money is just not in New Zealand. Like, there's $100 billion in the MBR list, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I just wasn't really seeing, it was really just foreign investors. And so Dubai is just a global hub, you know. So it was last year I went and actually set everything up and we launched. And now we're really, really focused on the high net worth individuals and those hubs of where they exist globally.
Yeah, like some of the numbers out of Dubai are astonishing. For those of you guys that have been, I mean, living under a rock that don't know what's happening in Dubai, there's some amazing things. Like, I got some reports here, like Q1 2025, real estate sales surged to $38.8 billion for the quarter. Like, that is 3 months, like about a 31% increase year over year. And that equates to about 45,000 transactions. Like, these are like crazy numbers and very, very hard to comprehend in our little country, you know, of Australia. And when you look at the actual population in Dubai, there's only about 4 million or so people that actually live there, give or take. And about, you said off camera, about 85% of them are expats. So obviously they're attracting a lot of people from all over the world. And you mentioned there's over 200 nationalities as well that are living in Dubai. And Dubai is not a massive place, right? Obviously the UAE is quite large, but Dubai, is not overall a fairly small stretch. So there's a lot of attention in Dubai at the moment, and obviously it's attracted me as well. I've got friends that have moved from here and acquaintances that have moved here to Dubai, and there's so much happening there, right? But I guess when people think of Dubai, they think of tax-free, right? And we'll get into that, but
it's happening. The Unemployable crew are going to Dubai, and we want you there with us. On October 23rd and 24th of this year, we're gonna be going to Dubai for a 2-day event. The first day is all about property. The second day is gonna be all about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. For the first few hours in the morning, we're gonna be doing an in-room event. We're gonna be talking to developers. We're gonna be talking to people from the Dubai government, as well as real estate agents. We're gonna be learning all about the real estate landscape in Dubai. After that, we're gonna be renting a coach bus where we're all gonna be going on the coach bus together, great networking, and we're gonna be going to all the different displays around Dubai and seeing the different infrastructure that they're building. We're then gonna be having dinner that night. Day two is all about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. Adam is actually flying in to join us, and he's gonna be there with his trading partners, as well as friends of his that are gonna be talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. After that, we're gonna be having some lunch, and then from there, we're gonna be going to a beach club, and we're just gonna chill. It's gonna be relaxed. It's gonna be a great networking event. It's gonna be very unstructured, and this is where real wealth creation happens, guys. You need to be in these rooms. You gotta rub shoulders with different types of people. There's gonna be people from all over the world joining us there. If you want to be there, register your details at www.unemployable.com.au/Dubai or click on the link on the top of the comments, register your details there, and hopefully you'll be on the bus and hanging out with us.
What are the other things about Dubai other than tax-free that are attracting people to this area? Because we're going to talk about real estate, we're going to talk about investment and all these fun things, but I want people to start understanding that the backbone of real estate really is infrastructure, right? And money being spent in the area. Tell us a little bit about what's going on other than, oh, Dubai, that's a tax haven.
Yeah, so the economic factors that I really look for, especially when creating, you know, wealth out of real estate, is also, you know, their government is just so futuristic and innovative. Like, it's unbelievable. So obviously tax-free is a you know, one power move. You change your net worth, but with a one-way fly. Like, that's unbelievable. But not only that, you put yourself in a global league. It's proximity is power. It's the people that you're meeting. You go out and people are hungry and they want to collaborate. You're also in, you know, in terms of proximity to so many other amazing parts of the world. So it just really helps you in terms of networking. And also, it's the government's commitment. It's a D33 economic agenda that you've got to look at. It's the government's commitment. They've already put in $100 billion. It's the commitment of another $50 billion to the infrastructure upgrades, the transportation upgrades, to make it the most livable city by 2040. You know, so the doubling population, it's on track to double by 2040. But that D33 economic agenda is a real game changer because it's 100 transformational projects that the government's committed to double Dubai's economy. So it's attracting all of the millionaires, billionaires, future trillionaires. I had a meeting with Dubai Economic, you know, in tourism, and we're having this Zoom meeting, and they're like, yeah, you know, we're meeting with the billionaires around the world, future trillionaires. That's where our focus is. It's just, they think so big. And that millionaire migration map is insane. So the UK lost, you know, 9,700 millionaires last year. China, 15,200. India, it was about 4,300. And the UAE actually gained 6,700 millionaires. Now, it's actually on track to gain 50,000 millionaires over the next 5 years because they are incentivizing it. They're making it the global hub to be for entrepreneurs.
Yeah. A friend of mine sent me an Instagram link to there's this lady, I don't know if you guys know or not, but Supercar Blondie. She's quite a successful girl in her own right. And she lives in Dubai, and she was saying that within the next 5 to 10 years or so, they're trying to attract 10,000 content creators to go and live in Dubai to produce content, and they will incentivize them by building studios. They just want to get bums on seats, heads on pillows there, to actually get the world and get these content creators and influencers to promote Dubai. We just interviewed a guy, we can't say who he is, probably one of our biggest interviews to date. He's got over 17 million followers across his platform. He gets about 400 to 500 million views a month. And Adam and I just interviewed him this week. And he said, he's like, I love what I do. He goes, Dubai just paid me $1 million US to go there just to shoot some content, right? Obviously, 400 to 500 million views a month, right, is a lot of eyeballs. And that's what they're actually trying to attract. And in my opinion, it's a very, very smart government that's looking into the future, right? And they're actually, in my opinion, dominating in that global landscape. I know you were talking off camera, Carson, as well, that you were looking at moving in Dubai at one point.
Yeah, well, I got married in 2008, and at the end of that we're trying to work out where we're going to live. We're going to Dubai, and that was kind of 2008, 2009. They just had the big GFC crash, and I know there was a lot of hype around Dubai just previous to that, and then it kind of had a big crash, and then I know it had a bit of a kind of leading into I think COVID 2016 to 20, it kind of had another lull, and then since then it seems like it's been going gangbusters, and we rang a few people and we were just like, it was even attractive back then. So I'll be obviously, everything that you see online, there's a lot of people moving there at the moment, and seems like it's, I look at the Gold Coast and it used to be just a little tourist thing, and it's kind of matured, and it seems like Dubai has kind of matured as a city, and it's got a lot more offerings than probably what it did back then.
Excuse my ignorance, because I think I haven't really studied much in that sector at all. I've flown through there a few times, but Dubai had to make this pivot, right? Because the oil sort of reserves, that's what they're banking on, and then they had to switch to a tourism-based economy. Now they're going more so in the economics aspect of it all. So just quickly, clarify, you moved over there. We'll cover some more stats, but what does Wealth Creators do to start with, just to set the scene so I can work out what it is you do in Dubai? Because I've come into this a little bit cold.
Yeah, sure. So we help people create wealth through strategic property investment in Dubai. So Dubai, because of the infrastructure coming in, the tourism, it's the busiest airport in the world, 93 million people came through. The size of that real estate market, like you're talking about, like last year there was 226,000 transactions that totaled, $761 billion. There was a 36% increase in volume. So it's the scale. So the things that we always look for is when the demand outweighs the supply, and it's that gap that makes us money. But also I'm looking for the unique opportunities, like buying in Dubai 14 years ago, the areas that are going to have that population growth, the infrastructure, the tourism and employment opportunities coming in, the uniqueness of the inventory too is like I've never seen. Like at the moment I'm selling one of two natural islands in the UAE that's going to be close to the new Wynn casino coming in. Unbelievable. The only gaming license for the whole UAE, like the Wynn in Las Vegas. Game changer. So we're looking for gentrification because you're buying in the early stage off the master plan from the developer, and we're wanting you to make double your money, in at least 5 years. So that capital growth and appreciation is a game changer. Also, the rental yields are, through the roof, a lot higher than any other part of the world. So it's also the payment structure that you don't get anywhere else. The fact that you can put a 20% deposit down, you then pay construction over, let's say, 4 years, the construction process, you're paying roughly 10% a year or 1% a month. You're paying it off the principal, no interest. Some people are then the remaining 40% on completion. They can decide to mortgage up. Obviously, there's an interest component if you want to go through the bank. Other people are just injecting cash. It's just mind-blowing. But you can see all the stats are creating that environment for people to really create wealth. The unique projects, on the other hand, if you've got more money to play with, Palm Jumeirah 14 years ago has made 2,600% capital growth appreciation. That's 185% year on year. Tell me anywhere else in the world that can provide that.
Mm-hmm. I want to dig into a few stats, and then I want to go back into what you were saying about before, your actual services and how people can buy there. So a few other cool stats. The first half of 2025, Dubai welcomed 9.88 million, right? International overnight visitors. Like just, again, massive, massive numbers, right? That's January to June, which was a 6% increase on the same time the year before. And not only that, but hotel occupancy reached over 80% occupancy. Now, I was involved in a holiday accommodation business for many, many years here on the Gold Coast, so I understand that business really well. And to have an average occupancy of over 80% across Dubai, and I could just imagine the tens of thousands of hotel rooms that would be in Dubai, right? Again, that's an astronomic number. So it goes to show you, whatever they're doing, they're doing an amazing job because they're attracting the attention and people are going there, people are staying there, people are enjoying it. And obviously someone like Natalie now can see that very clearly and is helping others. So here we call it off the plan sales. We used to have an off the plan marketing business here. We deal with developers, they build a high rise, they build a townhouse development, villa development, and then you get exclusive rights. And non-exclusive rights to sell the products, and then you market it. Is it something similar to what you're doing there with the developers?
Yeah, it is. And so definitely in the early stages, but there's a huge amount of due diligence that goes on from outside. So there's a lot of scams out there. There's a lot of misinformation. You have to be very careful. There's people running around saying they're brokers and they work for developers and they don't try to take people's deposits. So you really have to be careful. So that's where I saw a massive opportunity to bring honesty and transparency and safety to keep people safe while making the money. That's very important in having integrity. So that's why working with us, just to risk the whole process. Also, the regulation of the government with the sector is amazing. So the escrows are actually governed by Dubai Land Department, which is the actual government. And they actually have to, the developers have to report to the government, you know, in terms of construction, because they want it to be the best and the safest place for people to invest in the world. But look, dealing with the developers, I love. And it was pretty exhilarating when you're in a boardroom with a billionaire developer and signing them and having to go in and bat to get the best inventory. But we do huge due diligence. We only work with the most prestigious developers that have a track record. They're well-oiled machines, systems and processes. There's no delays or worry that they're going to go under. Like none of this type of stuff that we see in the media across Australasia. These guys have produced, you know, thousands and thousands of high quality, high craftsmanship, you know, developments on time. In fact, some of them even before, you know, completion. So that de-risks the process for investors, which is very, very important.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, when you have areas like Dubai that there's such fast growth, right? Everyone wants to jump on the bandwagon, right? All of a sudden, your neighbor's selling real estate in Dubai. And so what are the things people should be looking out for? Because I'm getting on Instagram and Facebook, you know, invites to the GoGo's Convention Center, Dubai Property Expo, and in Brisbane, and all these different things. And now influencers, you know, going, hey, if you want to buy Dubai real estate, follow me and do this. So when you say due diligence, what are some of the things that Natalie and wealth creators actually do to make sure that, you know, the end user is not going to be getting ripped off by a developer or yeah, a real estate agent? So what are some of the things that you actually do?
So due diligence with acquisitions, so screening all the, you know, the developers and making sure, you know, that they do have that track record, but also the inventory. We analyze thousands of deals. Not every deal is going to double your money in that 5-year period. So we analyze all the mechanics and then we actually educate you on how that works and how, you know, that's actually going to play out. So the education piece is very key. That's a whole nother level up that you're going to get from any other real estate agent. The other thing too that we do is we take you through the process, and we've refined a due diligence process that's very unique that other people don't actually offer. So we're making sure that you're going through due diligence with an off-the-plan specialist UAE solicitor to make sure that everything before you sign it has a legal executive summary. Very interesting. In Dubai, people just sign things and they don't even use lawyers, which I think is crazy. They also don't change clauses, a lot of the developers. So it's educating people and making sure that they can see, you know, the prestige, but also how they're going to make money and they're going to be safe doing it. Also, the escrow accounts have to be in place.
What is an escrow account for I don't know what an escrow account
is? Yeah, great question. So across Australasia, the equivalent would be the developer's solicitor's trust account, right? This is what an escrow is. So an escrow is even safer. So basically, it's a ring fence, an account that's got a financial advisor, and the government, Dubai Land Department, actually govern that. That's where your deposit is kept safe until the developer has actually, you know, made sure that they're produced in line with your sale and purchase agreement. So there's a few different steps in the process in Dubai, and it is quite different to buying off the plans anywhere else. And so we are guiding you through that process every step of the way.
All right.
To make sure that you understand your legal obligations and also, you know, how it all works.
You mentioned the numbers before that attracted you when you were in New Zealand to go to Dubai originally. When you mentioned the capital growth, obviously has been phenomenal. What are the other, with the yield side of things, what are the other numbers that made you think that, you know, Dubai was the most attractive real estate to get into?
Yeah, so well, the capital appreciation with the unique projects, unbelievable. I think the uniqueness of it, the fact that they're making these master plan communities and they've got every amenity you could even dream of, like the lifestyle, like you've got an open air movie theater, you know, you've got boat tours, you've got the helipads, like they've got the best of everything they're creating. Like you just don't get that anywhere else in the world in terms of creativity and innovation. Also, rental yields, you know, typically are between the 5 to 10%, but with unique projects, they're sitting between 10 to 15%. In fact, one that we're selling right now, we did the numbers on with a nearby hotel, 70% occupancy, and it came up 18% rental yield.
Is most of the stuff you're doing owner-occupy, or is it more kind of hotel-type mix where it's more holiday-let?
More owner-occupier at the moment, yeah. But we've got different you know, groups that we're working with. We've got some people that are like, look, we've got family, we don't want to leave our country, but we want to invest. Because this is the question. Tell me right now, what are, you know, between 500,000 to 5 mil, what else can you invest in that's going to double your money in 5 years? Let's break that down. A business, well, it's a rare breed of people that have the skills to build a business from the ground up. It takes a lot of time, energy, other currencies, you know what I mean? Also, not many businesses actually succeed, and you've got to pump money in the beginning to actually build it, right? For that business to double its money in 5 years. Let's talk about flipping. Well, I wouldn't know what to do with a hammer, you know what I mean? And then I don't know many people that are flipping and renovating and actually doubling their money in 5 years. It's pretty unbelievable that you can just sign it up and the developer builds it. You don't have to do anything but invest and pay it off, you know? The other thing too is you can actually flip it. We talk about what your goals are, right? But we make sure that there's an on-selling clause in the sale and purchase agreement. You can flip it before you even have to pay the remaining 40% on completion and make money if you want to, which is insane. So you've paid your 60% over 4 years. Now you flip it, your money's doubled and you cash in.
So what's the sweet spot for Wealth Creators clients? Is it a $1 million purchase? Is it a $5 million? What's the main sort of price band that you guys deal with?
Right now, really between the 500,000 to 5 million range is where most people are doing their shopping.
Is that AUD or USD?
That's Australian.
Australian dollars.
Yeah, Australian dollars. That's kind of the sweet spot. But also the Golden Visa has been a big game changer for us.
Yeah, I want to tap into that in a sec. First, I want to kind of rewind back a little bit, because most people that are going to be listening to this, majority of the audience is in Australia, and they're going to understand how Australian off the plan works. And I want to compare it to the process, because you said it's a different process there. So here, basically how it works is you have a brand new development, right? You've got stock, you put it on realestate.com, you put on development ready domain. Usually they have display centers, and mom, pa, whoever it is, and Mr. Investor, Mrs. Investor walk in, and they start looking at the properties, right? So they got all the different types of unit types, different layouts, one beds, two beds, three beds, and then they got prices. And normally how it works here in Australia is to take that property offline, right? So say if you're looking at a property, unit 101, and it's $1 million. You'll go, you'll talk to the real estate agent, and there's this thing called an EOI. An EOI is an expression of interest that basically is just, again, exactly what it's called, expressing your interest that you want to buy this unit. And you put down, normally it's anywhere between $2,000, $5,000, sometimes $10,000, fully refundable deposit, putting down your EOI, and then you usually have a handful of days before the real estate agent starts going, hey, you know, putting the pressure on going, we got to get this to contract. Are you sorting things out? And then once you go beyond the expression of interest and you want to buy that $1 million unit, you then, in most cases, need to pay a 10% deposit, right? Which is $100,000 into, again, the lawyer's, right, trust account. And that holds that property. You now bought a property for $1 million today. And what you're doing is hoping that, you know, based on supply and demand and your due diligence and research, that it will go up in value in the future, or that might be your owner-occupied house and you just want to live in it. You then fast forward to 3 years, and that $1 million property, let's call it, is still worth $1 million. You now have to come up with $900,000 to settle that property. Now, in Australia, you either got to have $900,000 in cash, or you go to the bank and you go, I need a mortgage for $900,000 on this property based on serviceability, based on a bigger deposit. So if you're getting a 20% deposit down, you got to come up with another $100,000. Then they give you a mortgage for $80,000. And then there's that interest component. They hand over the keys. The world is your oyster. And Dubai is very, very, very different. And this is what I love about the uniqueness of the purchasing structure in Dubai, which is totally different than Australia. So I want everyone that's listening to this right now to listen very, very clearly in what Natalie's going to explain to you on what the process is on an average purchase. I know there's few developers offer different things, but let's go on an average purchase of $1 million and do the same in Dubai.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so you come through, connect, we go through and we educate you. The first session with us, we go through all the economic factors so that you really understand everything, right? So you've got the information. The second meeting is actually with the developer. So you get to see how prestigious and credible they are. You get to ask any questions with the developer. And we do a virtual tour if you're abroad, or if you're, you know, via, we do it in person. We go into the showroom and we actually show you the 3D model in real time. Now, it moves very fast. So when you find a really good, you know, apartment, just like the other day, you know, if it's a high floor, it's got a spectacular view, it's a great price, you know, you want to move really quickly. So what's going to happen is you have to reserve the unit. So that process is a 2% refundable fee that you have to then, you know, transfer through to the developer's escrow account for that development. And you have to provide a proof of payment because compliance and legality is quite intense over there, right? Now, what happens is we then get a booking form sent through. We then request that SPA, the sell and purchase agreement. I then make sure that you have a specialist off the plan lawyer that is going to screen the documentation and provide an executive legal summary. And so you have an independent legal advisor to also talk to, and I'm there helping guide and also with the developer to help you answer any questions. We obviously go through, you know, everything in the contract. We go through the floor plans. We go through all of that stuff, right? Any other costs, like if there's a service, you know, charge, typically per square foot there is for all the common areas and the amenities. But it's amazing that it's still freehold because in lots of countries like Singapore, the government have gone and, you know, they're buying everything up, and it's really hard for the residents or, you know, foreign investors to own freehold property. So this is amazing that this opportunity exists, and it's a golden window opportunity, you know. So what will happen is when you have got your legal summary, you've done your due diligence, you've asked all your questions, you're feeling really good, you have a few days to do that because things go very quickly because over there people to sign things. But we reserve it for you. And then what happens is you confirm and you sign the sale and purchase agreement and you transfer the remaining 18%, which is your deposit. So now you've paid your 20% deposit into your escrow account, which is protected. You've got all your documentation signed, and then you get construction updates from the developer. You can come through, ask any questions through that process. And typically over the next 4 years, you're paying 1%, you know, a month, or 10% per year. So you're paying around 40% of the construction of the principal, no interest, direct to the developer. Then when it comes to completion, you get to do a pre-settlement inspection. We can help you with someone independently to do that to make sure everything's perfect in line with sale and purchase agreement. You know you've got your 10-year structural warranty. You've got your one-year defect period. 5% is actually kept in the escrow account. So if there's one spot of paint or anything, they have to go back and legally fix that, right? But we work with the best developers that produce a great product. That's really important. Then what happens is the lawyers will settle it, and you can then go to the bank with the remaining 40%, or you can inject cash. You then own it. You've got the keys. You can live in, or you can rent it out.
So with the 1% a month, is that up until handover settlement?
Typically, but there are some amazing opportunities with some developers where you have the post handover payment plans too. So then you're collecting the rent to help pay the payment plan. But not all developers do offer that. So it really depends what you're looking for. We also get some amazing exclusive offerings with our developers. Like at the moment, I was just doing a deal at the airport yesterday, and we got the 2-year service charge waived for our investor. So we're always, you know,
when you say service charge, would that be relevant to our, what we call a body corp?
Yeah.
Yep, gotcha.
Yeah, so to maintain all the amenities in the common areas, which is great because that's going to look after, you know, the building. Because off the plan is always superior, right? Because it commands a, you know, a higher sale price, higher rent, but also there's no maintenance and it's brand new. So the ventilation, your insulation, your heating, you know, is all brand new. So that's why buying off the plans is much better than pre-existing.
And you mentioned then, just to be clear for everyone, if you're a non-resident of Dubai, to go to the bank and top up the balance. Walk us through that. Like if I'm in Australia and I'm paying and I've got a property, I'm probably going to use equity out of the property to pay the 20% plus the 1% a month. That balance, is there some way, or is there access to finance over there for non-residents? Is that where you
Yeah, think? Absolutely. So we connect you with a mortgage specialist, and you can do that early on in the process as well. So yeah, that's super easy. And the greatest thing is that Dubai don't enforce a capital gain tax on foreign investors. But this is the thing, right, which I cannot believe this is happening. There are people that are doing events in the GC, and they are telling people, they are telling Australians that they can buy in Dubai off the plans, they're going to make all this money, and it's tax-free. Well, if you live in Australia, it's not tax-free mm-hmm. because the ATO are going to tax you on your global income. So you have to move, you have to break tax residency, and you have to be in the UAE for 6 months out of every 12 months to become a tax resident. So what we're doing is even bigger than just investment. We're actually helping people relocate and actually get a golden visa, which is a 10-year golden visa. And I've lowered the barrier. So you used to have to own 2 million AED outright. You had to invest that to get the 10-year golden visa, which means you can come and go to keep your resident status current. But you do still have to do 6 months if you want to be a tax resident, right? So it's really important for people to understand that difference.
Yeah, we'll get into that, because I want to talk about golden visas and tax structures. I just want to rewind and go back to, just so people can understand some of these calculations, right? So let's go to a $500,000 property, because there's not many $500,000 new properties in Australia, I don't think, anymore. I think that price point is now basically gone, which is another interesting thing in Dubai as well. Like, buying off the plan, I know on the Gold Coast, you're not buying anything for $600,000, $700,000.
Like, oh, that's
a two-bedroom unit here now, you know, and you're not on the beach. On average, is going to be between probably $900,000 to $1 million now.
And you're certainly not getting 10% yield either.
Correct. And that reminds me of another thing I want to talk about, is some of the amenities in these buildings. Now, so $500,000, right? You are then putting down a 2% fee to hold the actual property, right? Which is $10,000.
And that's refundable if you decide not to sign the booking form.
Yeah, and then you're paying another $18,000. So basically, you're paying a $100,000 deposit on that $500,000, which leaves you $400,000. How long in some of these developments did you say you got 4 years to pay 1% a month?
So typically, yeah, they're all structured a little bit differently, but over 4 years, like 10%.
Yeah, a year. Right. So let's say 1% a month. So on that $400,000, that would cost you $4,000 a month over 4 years. So what James said before, which is a strategy, and I know that people are doing this, is going, okay, well, I don't have you might not have the cash, but you might have equity sitting in your property. You might have a half decent job that you go and refinance. You take a bit of money out and you go and use this money to buy this property, as an example. So you have $4,000 a month, right? That's $48,000 a year. If I got my numbers correct, times four, you're paying another $192,000 off, right? So you basically, let's call it $300,000 in on a $500,000 property, and then you have $200,000
correct
to pay. But the beauty of this, and what people need to understand, is there's no interest on that money there. So they're not charging you interest. So if you have the cash here, it's all principal.
Yeah.
If you're refinancing, you obviously have the interest component here. But then you have a balance of $200,000 that what you're saying is there's opportunities with local banks in Dubai that you can go. And is it similar to here, where you actually go and show your serviceability and kind of worldwide income so you can service the $200,000 loan?
Correct. And we connect you with the, you know, a great mortgage broker to get you the best offer.
And the interest rates are a bit different there. I heard they're a bit cheaper there than
they are. Here. They are lower. But look, I do encourage people, if they're in a position, to actually just inject cash. If you can.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Just inject cash. Like, that's the way to do it. But look, if that's what you want to do, that's great. Or flick it and make some money and reinvest.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not there's a 40% LVR as well. So it's fairly low risk for the bank at the end of it.
Correct.
From their side, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well Dubai. And that's the difference, right? Like, we're not used to that here. Like, I've heard like a friend of mine lives in Dubai. He sends me some stuff sometimes. And they're not in the same areas that you'll be selling, a little bit more in the outskirts and stuff. And there are some developers that are going, like you said before, going, all right, put down your 20%, right? So your 100 grand, and pay 1% over 7 years, right? And in 4 years, I'll hand you the keys over. You now collect the rent, like you said before, and the rent is going towards that 1% a month moving forward. And again, there's no interest on it. Like it's totally
so developer different. Funded and tenant funded. So you're not under the top up at the end of the 40.
Correct. And no bank, not bank funded, right? And that's one of the big differences.
Game changer.
Yeah.
Are there any developers, you know, internationally coming in, or is it all local developers that are building these? You know,
yeah, products? The ones I work with, I want to be with people that have been there for decades that are the best. Like we're working with like Amar, they built the Burj Khalifa.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, I want to work with the these guys are the big boys, are the best in the world, and they have the track record to prove it. I'm not going to put an investor. I've got new developers. Honestly, I'm getting so many people coming through asking me to sell it to the world, and I've turned developers down because they don't have the track record. I'm not going to put an investor in that situation.
Those body corporate fees you mentioned, I know a lot of investors in Australia get slaughtered. They think they're getting they've been quoted a gross yield, and then the body corporate fees are horrific. You know, like you talked about New York before, sometimes they can be hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And like even in Australia, like $10,000, $15,000 a year. Are they, when you're talking about your yields, are you factoring in kind of the body corporates, or was there, if you're doing a pure yield play and you just want to rent it out, are you better off going for some of the probably less sexy developments, so to speak? Or what do you think's the...
No, it's really good value. Like even per square foot, what you're getting for value for money is still amazing. That's why I said to everybody, like, this is a golden window opportunity that you have with Dubai, because it won't in the future be like this. Because when any type of country has these type of economic factors, we've seen it all around the world with Monaco, Hong Kong, London, you know, the square foot goes down and the price goes up. You know, right now, US 1 million, you can get double, you know, for your money in terms of size compared to those other places. And Dubai is actually beating them in terms of lifestyle and economic opportunity. So this is why this now is the time. And timing is really important with investment and business, because they're gunning for that 2040 slot. Now, people are saying they play devil's advocate. They tell me it's a bubble. Well, if you have the numbers and the education, just spend 30 minutes with me and you'll understand why it's not a bubble. Also, the UBS Global Index, it's at low risk. It's not at the top as a high risk that it's going to break, because look at all of the population growth, the infrastructure, tourism, employment opportunities. They are the economic factors that create wealth out of property if you buy right.
Yeah, a couple of things there. I'm just tapping on the back of Carson's comment before. If we go back right a little bit, it was one of Eric's stats. I think you sort of backed it up as well. It was 80% occupancy, and that was for overnight or hotel. What is it, a similar sort of, is the rental demand strong for long-term rentals over there?
Yeah, absolutely. Like there's not even enough places built
gotcha.
To actually house the people that are coming in.
And then again, just to back to Carson's, if it's just doing the yield play, you're not wanting to move to Dubai, you've got some property here, you might use some equity to pay the 20 and then the 111, borrow the balance. Do you offer a service to manage the property as well? Do you place a tenant and do the management? Like if I'm here in Australia and I've got a property in Dubai, I'm going, fuck, who's looking after this thing? If it's untenanted or a light bulb gets broken, who's running it for me?
Yeah, we're full service end to end. So we're going to help you with everything. I think also that's important. We're on the ground and we're going to help you with that whole process. Also, a lot of them want furnished, but if there's a really good deal and it's unfinished, we can help you with that too. So we want to make it easy for you. We want to give you all of the information as well to make a really good informed decision and look after you during that process, which to be honest, you're not going to get if you just go everywhere.
And that's what I love about Natalie, right? Is she's from New Zealand, which is basically Australia.
and it's
close to home, right? And you're on the ground there. And that's the thing. You're not just sitting in, you know, your unit or your house selling Dubai real estate online. You literally live there, which is great. So if any of this is really resonating with you guys and you want to learn more about what Natalie is doing and some of the properties that she has and how you can get involved, go to www.unemployable.com.au/wealthcreators. Put in your details in there, and Natalie or someone from the team will get in contact with you to go through some of these opportunities, because like I said before, we're going to be going there in the next couple months just to check things out. Now, I want to really get people to understand is one thing that Dubai is doing that not many other countries are doing, other than I think the US at the moment, with these new visas. They're incentivizing people to go there, and they're incentivizing creators, they're incentivizing inventors, they're incentivizing entrepreneurs, they're doing that by offering perks, right? And offering these things, which we call golden visas and tax benefits. You know, like that supercar Blondie was saying, they're incentivizing by helping with studio fit outs. And as soon as, like, I thought to myself, I'm like, wow, imagine if we had unemployable media Dubai, like that would be pretty cool, you know? And that's what happens. They plant the seed, and then someone like me and 10 friends are going to be going there. There's a bunch of guys, you know, that want to go over and have a look. You're going to go there, you're going to go to the fancy restaurants, you're going to go to a beach club, you're going to go and hang out. Natalie's going to show us these properties. Like, what's there not to like about that, right? And that's the people that they're actually attracting.
Yeah.
And I know there's going to be people in the comments, because I've said it before with Dubai and stuff like that, and we get smashed in the comments going, yeah, but it's all built on, you know, cheap illegal labor and all these types of things, right? The reality is that we don't do that in the Western world, right? They're doing that in Dubai. That is the reason why you can still buy properties with pools and amenities and wellness centers and rooftop bars. And that's another question I want to talk about, is the amenities, right? Is because the cost of labor there is cheaper. Yes, you either accept it or you don't accept it, right? Because I always say here, everything is built into the price. If somebody wants to get paid $90 an hour, that's fine, but there's a margin that needs to be made, and that gets passed on to the end user. And that's creating opportunity. Some people are going to say, I would never do that. And other people are jumping on the bandwagon. And really, it's a labor arbitrage. You can't build what they're building in Dubai anywhere else in the world. It's physically, we can't even build average buildings in Australia right now. When I say average buildings, very average buildings, right? Compared to what they're doing in Dubai, the pools, I seen one where it was an aerobic center underwater. So you have the bikes, the exercise machines, like up to your waist, and you're in the water exercising and this type of thing, like stuff you would never see. Like you'd have to see it to actually believe it. And that's why, you know, I think they're doing a great job with the incentivizing of people going there. Like he said, lots of millionaires are leaving, and they're attracting millionaires. Well, guess what? Millionaires know other millionaires.
Yeah, exactly.
Money attracts opportunity. Money attracts business. And that's exactly what's happening. I want to touch base now for the people that are going, you know, because there's a lot of people, you know, even leaving Australia, unfortunately, because I don't think they're incentivizing wisely. Golden visas. I want to, anyone that's listening to this, this is going to be very loose conversation. This isn't legal advice around golden visas. This is just going to be what Natalie kind of knows from her understanding. So if you actually want to sit down with someone and go and structure yourself properly from Australia and all these things, go see a lawyer. But let's talk about the golden visa and how it works. You said it changed before you needed $2 million for a golden visa. Now they've changed it. And what is a golden visa? How do you get it? How much does it cost?
Okay, so we are selling, so through property investment, if you have a 20% deposit paid, proof of funds, you'll sign sale and purchase agreement, and what you call a pre-title registration, which is called a CURD, in Dubai. You take that information and you can apply yourself, or we would advise, we've got a specialist immigration team that actually this is their warehouse, so we connect you with them. And they can do it for you, which is what I suggest, because they take you then through that whole process, right, of biometrics testing, medical, all of these things you got to do. But they've streamlined it because they, you know, they want people to come and they want to be able to make it seamless for people. So what happens is you have to go through that process, and then you get a 10-year golden visa. So you only have to have paid the 20% of a 2 million AED property. So the key is that it has to have that value. So you used to have had to have injected the 2 million AED, all of it, to be able to, you know, qualify for the 10-year golden visa, but now you only have to have your 20% deposit. So it's been a game changer for people. Now, this means that you can come and go to keep your resident status, okay? You don't have to be there to, you know, 6 months of the year to keep the actual visa current. But if you want to be a tax resident, you do have to be there 6 months out of every 12-month period. Now, the 10 years is great. It means you don't have to renew it every 2 years. Now, there's only a few ways in, and this is actually one of the lower entry seamless ways to actually get the 10-year golden visa. So that's been really helpful for people. Now, also note, you get the 9% corporate tax if you set up a business in Dubai, which our team also can help you set up. And then it's 0% personal tax, which is just insane. 0% inheritance tax, 0% wealth tax. And they're not, you know, like the government in New Zealand and Australia, they're not overnight changing the legality to create a new tax. Had a meeting with an amazing Australian couple just the other day. They said, really successful. They said, Nat, we're paying 80% tax. So, you know, the golden visa and investing through property is helping them save 80%. They've worked their whole lives building businesses in Australia.
And this is another thing with Natalie, right? Like, it's not just a real estate agency. It's a hand-holding white glove service, depending on which angle do you want to go down, right? Like if you want to go down, hey, property management, if you want to go down the golden visa, we'll put you on to the right team that is part of your network, which is very important.
I just want to clarify, you said 2 mil AED?
Yeah, so dirham. So that's the abbreviation for dirham. So Australian, that's roughly 840,000 Australian.
Good, because I just want to clarify that, because we've got predominantly an Aussie audience.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
okay, course. It's 840 grand, which if you look at your 20% deposit at the equity of your house, people can start to do the math backwards.
Yeah.
Or it actually is achievable.
I mean,
considering you're buying a one-bedroom apartment here.
What was that?
Plan for
$168,000, if I got my calculations right. So for $168,000 deposit, you can get a golden visa that allows you to come in and out of Dubai as much as you want, except you have to be there for 6 months. You can't be in Australia for longer than something like 6 months, I think, again, get legal advice, and all of a sudden you're a tax resident there. There's a ton of other implications, right? If you own business here and you're getting dividends here and interest payments and, you know, if you own property here and stuff like that, which you'd have to get legal advice. But like, who doesn't that excite? Do you know what I mean? Like, it does not surprise me whatsoever that you guys are gaining, you know, tens of thousands of millionaires, you know, over the next few years, because the incentive is just so great. And yes, Dubai's in the middle of a desert. Yes, it's hot as shit for 3 to 4 months of the year, because I know I'm going to get it in the comments and all the, yes, there's sandstorms. Yes, it's a bit cloudy at times from the sand. But let me tell you, what they're building there is ridiculous. Tell us some of the ridiculous things that they're actually building there from an infrastructure perspective. Like, I know they got like indoor ski resorts and all this type of thing, but you being on the ground there is very different than someone else just scrolling through Instagram and seeing a 30 to 60 second clip. What are some of the things they're actually building there for you, Natalie, going from, you know, the beautiful rolling green hills of New Zealand in the fresh air to going to Dubai? What's the lifestyle actually like for somebody on the ground?
The lifestyle is amazing. You know what? I love the culture. What I really noticed in New Zealand was, well, tall poppy, you don't really get there in Dubai. Everyone just wants you to flourish. And just being there, in the overflow, their government wants you to win. I love the mentality, but also the culture. The Emiratis love their coffee, but also their legal system's quite strict, right? So it actually means that people aren't doing drugs and you kind of have alcohol in public places. I really love that. You know, I've been really saddened with seeing New Zealand, and just the rise in drug use is unbelievable, and alcohol issues and addiction issues that are coming in. You know, over there, people are actually building. They're connected and aligned with their why, and they're building something, and they've got fulfillment. So I love that there's that clean living, fitness life, but also they've really observed the best parts all around the world, and then they've gone and recreated it. So you've actually kind of got the nightlife like Vegas. You've got the dining experiences, like the best in the world, world-class, beautiful, the food and amazing. Like, we're talking just incredible, kind of like just you have to, I'll have to show you, like, mm-hmm. on when you come, I'm going to take you to some of these restaurants. But just beautiful. And then nature offering as well, like the wellness hubs that they're creating. And the Urban Master Plan is really important because it shows their commitment to actual, like, private beaches and recreational spaces and green spaces. So they're not just building up on every piece of land. They want it, they're really going after quality of life. But you've got the beach clubs like Bali. You've got the feeling like you're in, you know, Mykonos in Greece. They've got the best of everything. So if you, you know, if you want the nightlife, they've got the nightlife. If you want the fitness groups and community of people that want that clean, healthy life, you've also got that. There's a, you know, a great school education for people that have families. And then if you're entrepreneurial, the amount of business networking things is unbelievable. My phone pops off every night to be hosted at events.
I mean, it wouldn't be too bad if we adopted some of those rules here. It's like Singapore, if you've been up there, like you feel safe. It's zero crime because they know they're that strict. You screw up, you're getting caned. Like,
yeah, so it's really great that they are, their government are enforcing that, because it means that, you know, people like that, no, you don't want to go to Dubai's not the place that you want to be doing that type of stuff. Like, you know what I mean? So it's good because they have a really good culture. So that's been something that's really stood out. But also luxury, you know, the shopping experience. Just go through Dubai Mall, unbelievable. Like, let's say designer, you know, the stuff that you get in the designer stores in Dubai, you can't get anywhere else in the world.
Well, like the Christian Louboutins you're wearing and the Louis Vuitton purse and. But they Valentino earrings.
Yeah, but they have.
My wife will love it.
Yeah, they have exclusive things that you can't get.
And didn't you just go through Europe recently and sporting some Gucci loafers? Let's not just blame gentleness. Come on, level up.
You've got the matching Gucci tracksuit.
Oh, 100%.
I know you do.
Gucci undies all the way. Another big thing is safety. Like, people tell me, they're like, Dubai is a place where you can leave your wallet, forget it on a restaurant table or at the bar, come back 6 hours later, and it'll be in the exact same spot. Is that true?
Yeah, it is true. And there's a lot of security and CCTV everywhere as well. So you can really see the government's effort to make it the safest city in the world. It's currently ranked the fourth safest city in the world. They want to be number one, but it is ranked the top in the world for quality of life. But they're gunning for that number one spot by 2040 for the most livable city in the world. So that's why that is going full force to make it the best place in the world.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to be able to catch up with the infrastructure that they're doing. Now, tell me about some of the amenities in the building. Like, obviously, you've got this lifestyle, you've got this culture, you got the beaches, you got the beach clubs and all the fancy stuff. Tell me about some of the amenities, because what were you know, the big thing now here is, like, you've got a cold plunge now and a hot tub and,
yeah,
you know, infrared sauna. That's how crazy it gets in Australia. What are they doing in some of these buildings that for $1 million Aussie, or for, you know, 500,000-800,000? I'm not talking about the $5 million ones. The $5 million ones, obviously the expectations are on another level. But some of the stuff I've been seeing in some of these buildings are unreal. What are some of the amenities like?
Just incredible private beaches, lagoons, fly, you know, like you can fly through the air.
A zip line, whatever it's
called. Zip line, open air theaters, opera stands, floating opera stands, floating yoga mats. Like, it's just unbelievable. Luxury, you know, dining experiences, fitness, wellness hubs, spas, wedding venues out on the water. You know, so it's just the best of all different worlds. Like, you've got everything in close proximity. They're really taking that 20-minute city concept. Like, but what they're doing is they're even condensing that. You've got everything you need to typically, like, literally in the building or in a close radius, which I think is really great. So what I did is I actually went and stayed in all these different parts of Dubai to get a really good feel of the area. And all of the buildings were better than anything I've ever stayed in across Australasia. And I've stayed in, like, I was in the best building in Auckland with the best amenities it had to offer. And Dubai is, like, insane. And it's actually, you know, so well priced.
Interesting with the people that are going there and yourself, are you looking at it as a, you know, a lot of people go to the mines for 5 or 10 years and, you know, we'll go over there, get the tax benefits, and then we'll come back home and retire? Or do you think people are actually going there, hey, this is us now, with 6 months here, 6 months overseas, because I think it'd be quite attractive for someone if you're like a day trader or you had an online business or those where you can pick up and move quite quickly. But do you think it's just a flavor of the month where people go for a little while and then go home, or do you think people are actually going to live there long term?
People are really sitting up and putting their roots down because they see the future. And also the technological advancement of AI, like there's already robots running around the city. So it's just that they can see the opportunity and they really want to be there. So they want to be a part of that because they see the expansion and the acceleration of their own businesses, but also personal growth that you get by actually just being based there.
Yeah, who's it for? Like if you're talking to, again, an Aussie, I mean, if you're an employee, is there a work opportunity for some of these larger companies moving, or is it more suited to the entrepreneur or the business owner that wants to set up there for those advantages?
Well, look, some people come to work. Look, what I love most about what I do is the people that I get to work with, and like our clients are just so amazing. And so many of them are entrepreneurs or traders, heaps of crypto people coming in because they don't want to pay capital gain on, you know, the equity of their crypto, which is what, you know, other governments are starting to bring in. And so there's so many traders that are, you know, coming through, which is really exciting. But look, families, it works really well for the master plan communities. It's very family friendly. But it's also, if you're just an entrepreneur and you're single, you're going to find other like-minded people. I find they can be hard, like in New Zealand, it's quite hard because the culture is, which is amazing if that's your dream. But, you know, for me, like I'm single, no kids, I'm just full empire building era. It was really hard for me to find people that were just doing what I was doing. It's been really enlightening just being around other like-minded people that are doing the same thing. So there really is a lot of entrepreneurs there, which is great. But you can also get work sponsorship with a lot of amazing businesses there, and you're going to grow. And you're thinking, like, even just doing a year and seeing these systems and processes, you're going to expand and just grow so much by being there and around those people and the thinking.
And when you go, like you said, at least great dining experiences and whatnot, if you to say, like, go for lunch today at a nice restaurant and a main meal might be $45, is it sort of comparatively priced in Dubai, or is it exorbitantly expensive to go and have a nice meal?
Yeah, it kind of is comparatively. Like, they've got everything. You know, if you want to just have some cheap eats, I've got that. You know, Dubai Mall, you've got a whole, you know, they've got everything for everybody. But if you want the degustation, like the luxury experience, you know, where they've set something like there's an aquarium, or you're at the Royal Atlantis on Palm Jumeirah, which is a man-made palm that they've built in the actual water. And it's got beautiful villas, and they're actually building another Palm Jabal Ali, which is double the size. You know, if you want that type of experience, they've got that. They've also got things where they're, you know, all audio visual and just insane. I've never seen anything like it. But that's more expensive, obviously. Yeah. You know, you pay to play.
Yeah, you can have a smile on your face, and you could be bent over and have a smile on your face. It just depends which one you want. What I would recommend,
so many ways to go from that common era.
Well, I know which way you're going. Listen, I want everyone to open up right their web browser and go to Dubai2040.ae, because I had a bit of a look at this prior to the podcast to get some stats and stuff, and some of the stuff in here is absolutely incredible. Now there's this is the big master plan kind of footprint that they're talking about, right? So population increase by the year 2040 from 3.3 million to 7.8 million, 5 urban centers, stuff like they want, you know, 55% of the population to live within 800 meters of any main public transport station, 1.7 billion square feet of Emirates land dedicated to industrial and economic activities, 60% of the land to comprise of nature reserves and natural areas, an increase of 400% in length of public beaches, not private beaches, 134% increase in space for hospitality, tourism activities. Like, these are just some of the things that they're actually aiming towards. And in my opinion, they're going to get there. The projects, the initiatives that they're doing is absolutely incredible. And I just had a bit of a play, and it's hard to believe until you start reading and how they're actually going to be doing this. And that's why it doesn't really surprise me at the amount of growth that Dubai is having here, you know, in Australia. How many houses are they saying that we need again? Do you remember roughly?
In Australia? Yeah. Oh, I forget off the top of my head.
Right. Yeah. It's some ridiculous number that they're saying. We're going to build 1 million homes, whatever it is, right? 1 million homes in the next 5 years or whatever that number is. And people will put it in the comments that are well researched around it. And then they come out, actually, you know, well, we're not going to be able to do that. And then we wonder why, you know, cost of housing is going through the roof. And like, it all starts, in my opinion, with good rules in place, you know what I mean? And strategy and having a mission and having a vision. And I feel like the Western world doesn't have that, you know? And then you got places like Dubai that are just such strong visionaries that are just taking over in such a big way. And it's when, you know, we have friends and acquaintances leaving Australia and leaving New Zealand, which are amazing countries, beautiful yeah. countries. We have, you know, it's, you know, I don't know if it's as safe as Dubai by the sounds of it. I wouldn't trust my wallet on a bar for 6 hours. I think it'll get swiped, but
especially if I'm there. 6 hours, I'm looking at 6 minutes.
Over it.
You know, and it's, to be honest with you, for me, it's actually sad to see, right? It actually is sad to see people like yourself just going, you know, I can't do this here. There isn't the opportunity. I remember, you know, going to Europe and people saying that there's no opportunity in Europe and all the young people are leaving. And I can feel it happening here.
Oh, absolutely.
I can see it. It's happening in front of our eyes. And soon enough, we're still gaining positive. We're still in the positive numbers for millionaires. But if things don't change very, very quickly, I think we're going to be in the negative, just like the UK and other countries. And we're going to be losing amazing people and amazing talent to countries like Dubai that are incentivizing them much better. Like my wife yesterday is like, when are we going? What are we doing? Like, why are we still here? That's what she's telling me, right?
Oh, I love your wife.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going for dinner tomorrow night. So you're going
to— I can't wait to meet her.
You're going to meet her. But like, this is what she's saying.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, she's a big thinker and she's a, you know, bit of a gypsy. But at the same time, it's just like, why?
Well, it makes sense, right? But I think also, if you want to be in the arena with people that are the best in the world also, skill-wise, at what they do, that's the place to be. And also the scope. Like, we're asked, can you build a $100 million business? We're asked, can you build a unicorn? Because of it, that has the scale and that potential, you know? And who wants to then go pay 50% or 80% to the government? Not me.
Yeah.
So with Wealth Creators, where's the main pool of people come from for your business? Is it Aussie and Kiwis, or is it you got you doing a marketing campaign globally? Or
yeah, so we've got a huge emphasis on foreign investors. So it's really exciting. I love it. I actually am obsessed with what we do because it's so fulfilling helping people create financial freedom in their life. Because, you know, it's not all about the money. It's actually about fulfillment. But the freedom part of that is really important. Like, you need money to help a sick loved one, to spend more time with your children, you know, to really create the life that you want. So I really love what we're doing. But Australasia has been big for us. Obviously, being a Kiwi, people naturally have an affinity, and they do. There's a natural level of trust there. And I think it's really amazing being able to work with people from Australasia. I'm really passionate about it because I think that there's so many people that don't have the knowledge yet or the education around these opportunities. You know, across Australasia, it takes 15 years typically to double your money during, you know, through property. Like, being able to condense that for someone to 5 years changes the game for your average person that's worked hard all of their life and, you know, is wanting to retire. So that's really exciting. But the next 12 months are huge for us. So we've got some amazing connections in the US, some amazing celebrity connections. We're working with some pretty incredible top 1% in the world at what they do. So those doors opening have also just been so insane to make those connections. So the US is going to be a big emphasis. So we're going to be touring also Singapore, China. We're kind of looking at the UK, but there's huge opportunity out there.
So when someone goes to unemployable.com.au/wealthcreators, and they go through the, you sort of explain the process to a degree. Like, what's it cost us to work with wealth creators? If we want to get a property, the ultimate goal is we go and sign up and we buy a property for 20% down, percent a month, et cetera, et cetera. What's it cost to be a member or a client?
Yeah, great. You know what? Great question. Well, you know what? It's amazing because we work with you and help you through all of this. And most people, you know, monetize that as a course that you have to go through. I know businesses that do that. We don't do that. We work with you and we get paid direct by the developer.
Yeah.
So zero, except for services, like if you want to use your immigration team, obviously you're paying for legal.
Yeah, immigration, lawyer.
Pay for the service.
Yeah.
But your service is essentially free because you're paid from the developer.
Yeah, yeah. But we do work with people that are serious. Mm-hmm. So we're not here for infotainment. We say, you know, do you have a deposit really? Like, and also I don't want to put anyone into contract that's not going to be in a financial situation to meet their obligations. Mm-hmm. So we meet with people that are serious. We meet with people, you know, that are really wanting to invest and the, you know, they want to learn.
We had an ex-politician on the podcast, which we haven't released yet. And one of the things we asked is what advice would you have for other Australians in regards to, you know, where the kind of the world is heading and where you feel Australia is heading as a country? And one of the things he said is, I would have assets offshore, which is quite interesting. And then I caught up with my accountant last week, and he introduced me to one of his high net worth clients, and we had a coffee, and he's like, I just don't want to invest in Australia anymore. I want to start investing overseas, right? And he's in his probably mid to late 50s. So people are really starting to get an understanding from an investment point of view, right? Different if you're trying to manufacture equity and do property development and land subdivisions and these types of things. But if you're looking to just go, hey, I want to put some money, right, and hedge my bets on a property in the back of Narang or, you know, somewhere in the western suburbs of Sydney, or one, you're not paying $500,000 for it. And two, there's definitely not the amount of infrastructure and stuff that's being built here like it is over there. And I think it's starting to become very, very attractive for people, but people don't know where to start. And when I met you and we started talking, you know, over Instagram and building the relationship, I think people will really resonate with you because, like I said before, you're from New Zealand, right? So it's a familiar voice. Building that trust is very, very important, especially you being on the ground there. And I'm looking forward to going there in the next couple months. I've been there maybe about 12 years ago. So it's definitely a changed city. And I was blown away back then. So it's quite exciting. Now, to wrap up the pod, I just want to ask a couple more questions just around how are people buying these properties? So do you have to physically go there? Do you recommend going there? And if people don't want to go there, what's the best way of them still looking at some of these options?
Yeah, virtual tours are great. Look, if you just want to invest, we can do everything over Zoom, and we take you through into the showroom and we give you everything that you need. You don't even have to go there. Look, at the end of the day, you have to just understand the economic factors. It's about the data that's going to inform your decision. It has to make you money. It's an investment, right? It's not a charity. It's not just a feel-good project. It's about the bottom line. So we're brutal with that. We want to get you a result. We want to make you raving fans. So yeah, we can do it all online. But look, if you're looking to relocate, it is a great idea, I think, to come and see if it's your vibe, get a feel for the area. You know, but of course, understanding the data that we talked about today, you know, it's a real no-brainer when you sit down and you look at the stats. But other people do have other things at play, you know, like their family, like my mum, for example, right? She's in a stage of her life now where she's like, I would not move to Dubai, you know? But look, it makes sense as a base for 6 months. And then in their summer, you've got the Euro summer, you've got the US summer, you know, Australasia is a good climate, and you can go and do whatever else you want and go networking and, you know, go enjoy the whole world. The world is your oyster. So I think so many opportunities, I want to say, open up when you actually get into the global league. So I have been blown away as a Kiwi, you know, just the amount of things now coming to me from operating from Dubai and selling for the best developers there. it's amazing. Like, I'm talking media opportunities from the US, like all around the world, people asking me to be on their podcast. It's incredible. These opportunities are coming now because people can see, you know, just the advancement, and they want to know, they want a piece of the pie.
Yeah, it's amazing the world we live in at the moment, right? We're so connected, and there's so much opportunity. And what I love about this is you don't have to buy the $5 million property or the $10 million property. And if you're in that league, that's amazing as well. But again, if you're that person that's like, I've got 50 grand, I've got 100 grand, or you've got a couple mates and you both got 100 grand, what are you going to do with that here? You can buy a bit of Bitcoin, maybe. You can go and buy some shares. You can do whatever you want to do. This isn't financial advice, obviously, right? But you're not, it's going to be very, very hard to get into a property if you're not looking to manufacture and do options and this different thing, just to set and forget. Whereas in Dubai, you can get into a property for these types of prices.
Well, that's, and the other thing too, the positioning of these properties. So, you know, one or two natural islands, you've got everything on this incredible island, and they've actually positioned the one bedrooms on high floors with the marina views north facing. Most people don't, most developers do not do that. It's the most expensive thing that gets the best view. You know what I mean? So you don't have to have the penthouse budget to actually have an amazing property. And these people are buying for 650,000 Australian. Like, that's unheard of.
And the thing is, you mentioned one bedders, right? And this is the kind of stock that you can get there. Studio apartments, one bedders, two beds, no developer. You can go to any of these new developments, right? And majority of them are not selling one bedders. Mm. They're not selling studios because it doesn't stack up for construction cost, right? Like, it literally doesn't. They're not selling one bed. So before, you can go and buy the $300,000, $350,000 one bed. That's gone. What's next? $950,000 two bed. That's it. That's starting price in comparable areas to what you were getting in Dubai. I'm not talking about, like, you know, the western suburbs of Sydney, infill. You know, you could probably get something a little bit cheaper there, but something kind of near the water, near amenity, with a bit of a view, like, forget about it. You're not getting that here. And that's the other thing. So this doesn't have to mean that you have to be, oh, I'm not going to buy in Dubai because, you know, I don't want to live there. I think it's a shithole, whatever it is. It's opportunity, because I talk about
How to wrap a pod.
No, but this is what happens. You'll see it, right?
In the comments,
right? In the comments, it's just you'll get the average person and be like, oh, I'll never live there. They never even been there, right? They just get upset because they can't afford here, and they just want to, you know, smash in the comments, which is fine. But the thing is, there's an opportunity. Doesn't mean you have to live there. Doesn't mean you have to do the golden visa. Right, you could get some advice around how do I buy it, whether you buy it in your personal name and a company name, trust structure, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
Get some legal advice.
Talk to your accountant.
Absolutely. Talk to your accountant. Get your accountant to then talk to Natalie's people there. Get on a Zoom call. How good is that? You know, and then work out whatever structure that you're going
to
be doing.
Yeah. And we're up to date with all the current changes. Like, even the other day, I'm sending a voice message to Adam saying, hey, this is now happening. You know, we keep also, if you're part of our ecosystem and our community, we keep you up to date also with what's actually going on and all of the changes, because we're connected with the government. So that's also really, really important.
Yeah, amazing. Do you have any other questions, Carson?
Oh, just hats off to yourself as well. Obviously, you're doing really well in New Zealand. To pack your bags and go to Dubai would be pretty daunting. And not, did you work for anyone before you actually started your own gig over there, or did you just?
No, I set up. So I had previously experience for a top education company in Australia, and also I was selling for the top developers all across New Zealand. So that's where the lights came on. I was like, oh, I love this, but I was like, I need to go global. Great idea, just wrong country. That's when it really hit. But that's, you know, that's that inner work thing. You see opportunities other people don't see, but it's been huge. Compliance, legality, being a woman. There's been a lot of factors. There's been a lot of hurdles to jump, but you know what? I like that, because it eliminates competition. But no one's actually doing what we're doing the way that we are doing it. So there's just a huge opportunity, and it's just great to align with other people that want to create real freedom. And, you know, that foundation for me, I've come from that foundation of service and contribution. That's what it's all about. But you can't save your way to wealth. And I've been broke. It's not fun.
And
I want to help other people create, you know, wealth as well. It makes life a lot easier.
you say we, you obviously you've got your other people that you're working with, your lawyers and bits and pieces. Do you have a team underneath you now? And if there's a young girl in New Zealand wants to come join you, is that an opportunity? Like, well, what would you offer to, advice you'd offer to someone that's like, oh, actually, I don't want to invest, but hey, I want to do what you're doing. I don't want to create more competition for yourself.
Do you know what? I could start a recruitment company at this rate. The amount of people coming through that want to do what I'm doing is kind of unbelievable. But look, the honest answer is we've got some huge power players in the US that we lock in with, and we're also building our global broker network, which means that you basically connect somebody in your database that's wanting to do foreign investment. You don't have to learn all the compliance and legality, and you get a slice of the commission, and we do all the work. So our global broker network is growing, and that's really exciting. In terms of our team is elite. There's a lot of experience, business intuition, the ability to coach people. You know, I've had decades of experience, you know, doing these things. So we're not actually just recruiting anybody new, especially someone that hasn't been in the Dubai real estate. We're investment specialists. So look, in the future, we'll be looking to expand. But right now, it's a very highly skilled elite team. And right now, I work with every investor because it's really important to me that they actually get that superior VIP service. I don't want to be on the pod talking about it, and then you come through and you've got someone who's not experienced, that's not an expert to help you. I want everyone to have an elite experience. So it's very bespoke what we're offering, and that's very important to me. When you come and work with wealth creators, I treat it like my money. You know, I respect money and I respect people's hustle. Like, I have worked hard my whole life. I know what it's like to fail. I know what it's like to succeed, but I know how hard people work to make their money. You can't save your way to wealth. So I really want to help people. You know, that I do this because of that. It's not just about money. It's got to be, you've got to have a bigger why on what you're doing. And so that's why we're elite.
I agree. If you're looking for any kind of one with a lot of reach and influence, James knows a lot of people around that Burley Heads area. He's a bit of a weapon down there. So he can probably be a good network for you.
Potentially. Might be over a lunch though. Your shout.
But honestly, Natalie, like, you are a powerful woman. Like, the day I got in contact with you, the way you present yourself, you know, your personality, your energy, and I've got two young girls and I'm just like, man, if they can turn out just a little bit with that ambition and that fierce fire that you have, I'd be very, very happy, a very happy father. So well done on what you're doing. I came to Australia from Canada with my wife, then girlfriend, now wife, not knowing anybody, you know, and, wow. And we took that plunge just like you've taken that plunge going to Dubai. And I take my hat off to you with all the success that you're going to have. Hopefully we can work together in some shape or form in the future. And for those of you guys that want to get in contact with Natalie, www.unemployable.com.au/wealthcreators. Get in contact with her. She's flown here all the way from New Zealand because it's a bit hot in Dubai at the moment. So she's hanging out in NZ with some family. And she flew here just to be on the pod. We're going to spend some time together over the next couple of days. Looking forward to it and learning more about you in your personal life as well. So thank you again for being on here.
Thank you for having me. It's been so, so much fun.
It's been so great. And for any of you guys that are out there listening, watching, again, when I say go to, you know, that the Dubai website, go to Wealth Creators and just do some research, right? Like, take off those rose-colored glasses and think outside the box a little bit, right? We always think about we're going to buy something in our own backyard because we could see it, we could touch it, we could feel it. But the world is a very, very big place, and that's what we're trying to expand people's minds through this podcast. So if you guys can share it, you know, comment, subscribe, that's how we grow and get better guests and get people like Natalie that come and join us to help you guys in your wealth creation journey as well. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.
Hey there, I hope you enjoyed that episode of Unemployable. If you'd like to watch another episode, just click there.